Ladies and gentlemen, B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. It's a Scotty's Vodka Red Bull Friday. I'm out at Commanders Training Camp. All of our Commanders Training Camp coverage brought to you by Paul Henry's Windows, paulhenryswindows.com, your clear home improvement choice. But right now, we got to get to the BetQL guest line. Joining the show is Odyssey NFL insider Jason LaCanfora. Insider calls are presented by BetQL. Get access to data and insights that sportsbooks don't want you to see. Bet smarter, beat the books, download the BetQL app, or visit BetQL.com today. You can also hear Jason with Brian Baldinger on Baldy's Breakdowns with new episodes out every week. Just search Baldy on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcast. JLC, what's up, man? How are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. I hope you gentlemen are doing the same. Trying to stay cool. I was out at Ravens the other day. Jeez. Yeah. And they're practicing 2 o'clock in the afternoon, which is a whole lot of fun.
That's nuts. We're sweating it out here in Ashburn, but we're enjoying it. Before we start diving into the football, you may be aware of this, but I think this is pretty damn hysterical. I've listened to you for years on the Tony Kornheiser podcast. Your dog often starts.
Are you aware? I don't know if you could pick that up.
Are you aware that there's a Twitter account for Copper LaCanfora?
You know, it was on my radar years ago. I used to correspond sort of back and forth with the person, and then I don't really look at my mentions anymore. Like, that's just how I have to lead my life. I learned that lesson the hard way. So as part of that, I do think I probably miss a fair amount of fun interactions as well. So I wasn't sure that it was still kicking. But, like, one of Tony's listeners made up all these shirts, like, and sent them to our whole family, like, of Copper and, like, take me for a walk on. Right. Like, it's unbelievable. Like, Tony, the Littles, as they call themselves, are tremendous.
It's an army. I too am a loyal Little. Let's talk some football, man. I want to start maybe here in Ashburn, and then we'll zoom out league-wide. I'm curious. You know, it was cool. I actually got to see you the other night at Mike Loxley's event.
Yes.
And we're all rooting for the Terps and hoping Lox gets to another bowl game this year. But we talked briefly about this team. What do you think of Ron Rivera's squad prospects for this 22 season? And a lot of it hinges on the right arm of Carson Wentz.
Well, I think the defense is going to have to be a monster because I just don't know that this is where the Carson Wentz story kind of like has a happy ending, right? Like, I don't know that if you were going to list the potential places that have a history of rehabilitating or habilitating quarterbacks, right? Incubating quarterbacks, developing quarterbacks, not getting quarterbacks killed. I don't know if they'd be 32nd on the list, but they sure as hell wouldn't be, you know, anywhere in the teens.
So, yeah, they'd be bottom five for sure.
Yeah, and then if Frank Wright couldn't do it, if he didn't have the secret sauce, and by the end of the year, look, do I think it was all Frank Wright? Heck no. I think the owner had a lot to do with it, but Frank Reich wasn't willing to fight for this guy anymore. Like, and it's not just football. It's some of the other stuff, and do dudes really want to go to war with him? And, like, there's just a lot of baggage there, and I have a hard time believing Washington Commanders circa 2022, or circa whenever, for that matter, no matter what they were called, since you know who bought the team. I have a hard time thinking they unlock it, they figure it out, and Carson Wentz looks like he did 4 years ago. I'm fading that.
Yeah, I mean, when you stack it all up and you stack up the names of the quarterbacks that have been here and everything that's happened out here, it's hard to envision a strong offense for this team. But at the same time, as much as things went sideways with Wentz last year, he still went 27-7 and can still make some pretty elite throws. Is there, whether it's an inside straight draw or whatever, I mean, the probabilities are low. What kind of season do you have, like, what kind of has to fall into place for things to break right for the Commanders?
Well, I think a lot. I mean, with him, if you watch him between the 20s, he's a fairly, at least last year, he was a fairly smooth operator. The problem is he does things inside his own 20-yard line, and he does things inside the red zone far too often that just make you say, like, makes you want to gouge your eyes out. And I don't know that that can be coached out of him. I just think that's who he is when the goal line is immediately in front of him or the goal line is where he lands when he does a seven-step drop. That gives me great pause, especially for a team that isn't overloaded with weapons that are going to make him better. And look, the Colts had a dominant run game. The Colts had a very robust offensive line. The Colts played really good defense for the most part. And Carson Wentz had to sort of manage games and don't bleep it up. And then when it really, really mattered, he still bleeped it up. So do I think the Commanders can provide some of those elements? I do, but I kind of got to see it. I mean, there's the pieces there that you could sell me on. That's going to be a really good defense. But I bought that. You know what I mean? I bought it last year. I bought it 2 years ago. Like,
yep.
I got to see it. You know? I got to see the names on the back of the jerseys and where they went to college and what they did in the SEC or whatever. I got to see, or the Big Ten. I got to see it manifest itself on Sundays together as a unit before I'm going to say that's the kind of defense that can carry a quarterback like Carson Wentz if he truly is a reclamation project at the end who's in just don't bleep it up mode.
Yeah, and you know what? I mean, part of the fun is we'll get to see it. And I know that some fans got upset about taking on the contract and maybe even the draft pick compensation for Carson. There's no price that's too high if you get a quarterback. And if you don't, it's not a killer draft pick compensation. I look forward to watching them, but I'm an NFL junkie, and I look forward to the whole league. I want to zoom out.
Yeah.
I want to ask you a specific one. I may be nuts, and I recognize that Kirk Cousins is at the center of this storm. I really like the Vikings this season.
I do, too.
I think, dude, that makes me feel so good. Tell me your thoughts on
that. I don't know, but I do like
I think Mike Zimmer.
There's some money to be made going over. And
Mike
Zimmer
got
like
to be so
to
toxic there.
Like,
I do, too. Yes.
The question that they win that division. Mike Zimmer was a toxic figure in that organization that was allowed to linger on for 2 years longer than he should have.
Totally.
And they knew it, and they almost fired him even the year after he won the playoff game. Like, I think that one was against the Saints. He was almost, if they wouldn't have made the playoffs that year, he definitely would have been fired. And he wore everybody out on offense. And he wasn't willing to put together an offensive staff that could actually challenge him, that could have a voice in the room. He's a maniac on the headsets on Sundays. And he made offensive players feel less than. He didn't really want to coach them. He just put up with them. It was all about his big bag defense. Well, guess what? The last couple of years, the defense wasn't big and it wasn't bad. I think addition by subtraction is a real thing there, and O'Connell's going to be such a breath. He's the complete opposite. I don't know if he's going to be a good head coach or not. I don't know. Stefanski, though, in year one in Cleveland was a breath of fresh air, and a lot of guys on that side of the ball took off. Now, 3 years later, do we know Stefanski is a good head coach or not? No, we don't, and that organization is always bleeped up.
They're like this organization.
But I think O'Connell can have that sort of impact on the offensive side of the ball year one. He's going to be a sensei for Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins doesn't have to worry about the head coach wanting to strangle him after every practice. Like, I think it's going, and they've got pieces there. So, no, I think, and the NFC is watered down. Minnesota's an intriguing team to me. You know, they got to keep a few guys healthy on defense. But I think they're going to be more interesting than not.
Yeah, I mean, Jefferson, Thielen, Dalvin Cook. I know Irv Smith just had that thumb surgery, but they're saying he should be okay. I like him a lot. Some of it, when a baseball team's really bad and they fire their manager in mid-August and they go on a five-game win streak, I think there's going to be some of that just with Zimmer gone. But I also, I know Kevin from his days here. I think he can coach. I like Wes Phillips Well, and, dude, Kevin is a pretty hyper dude. Wes Phillips is so low-key as kind of the offensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
I love the yin and yang there. I'm high on the Vikings. They'll probably go 6-11, but I'm high on them right now.
I'm with you. I'm with you.
Okay. I love it. That makes me feel even better. Let's go out west, dude. The AFC West is loaded. And people are so high on the Chargers. And I like the Chargers, and they were aggressive, and they got a ton of young talent. Herbert's obviously a star. But the Broncos had Russ Wilson, and they already had a pretty loaded team. I know they just lost Tim Patrick.
Yep.
I like the Raiders. The Raiders sure look good in Canton, but I'm not taking a lot from that game. But I like what the Raiders have. And then you still have the Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes. I think that offense might flow a little. It's not going to be better. Nobody gets better by losing Tyreek Hill, but right. maybe it's easier to spread the ball out. What do you make of the West?
It's incredibly intriguing. You could make a case for every team as a viable playoff team, even though the AFC is so stacked on the whole. I'm a huge Russell Wilson guy. I just think that there's a good. It's such a. They haven't had anything like that since Peyton Manning, and most of the dudes there weren't there when Peyton Manning was there. And to go from like Drew Lock and Teddy Bridgewater to this, I again, kind of similar to the O'Connell thing. Like all of a sudden, it's like we're real, man. Like we just hang around. This cat right. can help us win against anybody at any moment in time. Let's just let's just hang in there. Let's try to keep it close. I think that's a I think that'll help them restore a bit of home field advantage there, and they've got some interesting pieces on defense. The Raiders, in terms of like gross yardage, it wouldn't shock me. Like, I don't think Derek Carr is a top 10 quarterback. Could Derek Carr lead the NFL in passing? He could. He could, and I think Josh McDaniels will be great for him. And while I don't still know about that defense and their ability to close games against good teams, they did make the playoffs under duress last year. So there's a little something there. I think Kansas City's still the team to beat, but I don't think they're going to be like the Raiders chasing every yard they can get. I think Andy Reid's going to recalibrate a little bit. And I think Andy Reid is going to be a little bit more balanced. And not that he's taking things off Mahomes' plate, but, how good is that defense? And could a little bit more ball control there go a long way? And if they think they're going to have to beat the Bills in January, 53-52 or whatever. So I could see a little bit of a recalibration right. there. And the Chargers have a great talent, but every year I look at the Chargers and say that looks like a playoff roster to me. And then they find five different ways to muck it up. And you know what I mean? It's like shame on me. For falling for, Lucy and I'm Charlie Brown with the
fourth
football
and, fourth so, and 18 inside their own 20.
Yeah, and I think there's a little something going on there.
I don't
there.
Trust like, that coach at all.
Yes, ownership spent a lot of money on the roster for the first time in forever. And now Sean Payton's living at the beach 5 minutes away, and, he would be chomping at the bit to work with Herbert. And it's a young coach who I like and think he's really smart and think he could be good, but not everybody's great. On their first job, and now all of a sudden there's expectations. Oh, and the team that we share the stadium with, who we're the redheaded stepchild to, they won the freaking Super Bowl. So I just don't know that that's right. going to bring out the best in all of them there. I just don't know that Staley's going to have the kind of leash that he would probably need. And I just don't see enough Bosa on the football field. I just don't. And Khalil Mack, he's not the guy he was 4 or 5 years ago. So I applaud what they did. They finally spent some money. They had to spend some money. But I just don't know that this is the year it all comes together.
I'm with you, man. And I think Staley's really smart, and I think it's a great point about sometimes for coaches it's the second job where things click, because I think Staley wants to be so avant-garde and so analytics-driven that at times he forgets just the simple football
yeah.
decision. Like, not everything needs an algorithm, and I think he'd be well-served with some
everything.
Of that.
Yeah.
Right. Talking with Odyssey NFL insider Jason Lockett. You can hear him afternoons up in Baltimore on 105.7 The Fan. You got the Eagles as the team to beat in the NFC East?
I do. Influx of talent. I like what the coach did last year. Yeah, look, should he have figured some of that stuff out in July and August this time of year? Probably. But it's Philly. It's tough. There was a lot going on, post Carson Wentz. But you look at the sort of meeting of the minds where they started to meld the scheme to the talent, and it's not what we aspire to be. It's what do we do best right now? What can we do really well that even when the other team knows it's coming, they probably can't stop it the way they wish they could. So, and I don't think any of that goes away. And AJ Brown is just a beast, and he's going to open so much things up. I just think they've got a nice mix of sort of brawn. And speed offensively. Jalen Hurts cares. He wants this badly. I love the way he handled himself the year with Wentz, and I think the further removed from that and the more clear that this has every opportunity to be his team, I think will bring out the best in him. And they've built things up over the last couple of years defensively. Even keeping guys like Fletcher Cox around. It's a low bar to clear. I am not bullish on that division at all. But I would lean to the Eagles as the one who's standing at the end.
I think from a human perspective, regardless of what you think about his arm and his accuracy, Jalen Hurts has handled some incredibly difficult situations. Going back to college at Bama when he got benched for Tua, the whole Wentz saga. Jalen Hurts is a stand-up, classy dude above all else. Last one, and this is we're almost going the opposite direction here. What do you think happens with Deshaun Watson? Do you think it stays at six games? Do you think the league tries to get more? Obviously, an ugly situation in Cleveland, and we're not sure what's going to happen.
What I've said pretty much throughout this whole summer when I've been asked about him is I will believe Deshaun Watson is a fully active member of the Cleveland Browns as their game day quarterback. I'll believe it when I see it. And until I see it,
wow.
I color me a skeptic just because, and maybe this ultimate appeal and final ruling will get to the root of some of this, but I never thought the league wanted him on the field this year whatsoever based on what was known. And I believe the league feared, in a way that the Cleveland Browns didn't, what more will we find out while he's kicked to the curb for a year? And what will a year kicked to the curb again bring out in him? And the Browns didn't subject him to any kind of psychological evaluation. There was no behavioral scientist involved. We never got to the root of, like, why? Like, what was this? Did he want to get caught? What's going on? Where is the seemingly upstanding guy living this other life? Like, what is that about, and how does that heal? And he doesn't even want to admit that there's anything there. Although, if you look at the pattern of behavior, you could almost say, like, dude was itching to get caught. Like, 60 interactions in 17 months, thinking like it's not going to get out. Like, that's crazy. So,
crazy.
I've been like, we don't know enough about what's really going on here to know when he's going to be able to do that job again or when the league would let him do that job again. And I'd be very surprised if he's not suspended at least a year or indefinitely. And then it sounds like there's going to be some rehabilitation and things he's going to have to be willing to do. And he's going to have to go through with all that, and he doesn't seem to be there yet, but maybe the paycheck ultimately or something else will get him there. And then I think the league's going to demand that he show some real contrition, that he work with victims of sexual assault in a way that, like, Mike Vick did the work. You know what I mean? Ray Rice did the work. Like, this isn't just, like, come on back and we're going to forget. Like, they can't gloss over it. So there's a lot of you know what I mean? That's a lot of stuff that's still out in the horizon, a lot of boxes that have to be checked. So I don't know, you know? I don't know, but I got to see it to believe it. And there's a lot that I believe the league is going to put on his plate, and maybe that's a positive shock to the system, or maybe that brings out the worst in him. I don't know. I don't know how anybody could know.
Jason, you're great at what you do. I know you got to get to work. Thank you for the time, man. We'll catch up soon.
Anytime, man. Stay cool. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, buddy. That is Jason Lockham for Odyssey NFL Insider. Insider calls are presented by BetQL. BetQL is here to help us all make better bets through real, proven analytics. Bet smarter. Beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. You can also hear Jason with Brian Baldinger on Baldy's Breakdowns with new episodes out every week. Just search Baldy on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcast. We come back. I'm still making the big man sit here. Mitch Tischler is here. And we got news that you have to know. Anybody want to go on a cruise? Find out next.